Okay, I just want to make, if you guys have some great comments, I want to make sure I catch them. So it went well. Tell me about it, and what was their impression, and how did it change the relationship?
Well, this is Rob Reich. I think the thing that was really most useful in what we did that I think may be unique from some of the other teams is that we started the process by saying that we've been blessed to grow the practice to double it over the course of the last 3 to 4 years. But that any time that you see that kind of rapid growth, that it's not unusual that you might see some slips start to come into the service model. And, you know, frankly, some things just don't grow as quickly as they could. So we've committed ourselves to saying that the most important thing for us to do is to put this practice on a well-structured, systematic, consistent platform where we can not only take care of all the clients that we brought in a very rapid succession, but that we continue to see growth and can really be partners that bring a lot of value to the table and really, you know, make everybody who does business with us look a lot better. And we then told them that, frankly, one of the other things that Rob Knapp has shared with us is that when he looks at our book of business and our practice, that he thinks that we've probably done a pretty good job of planning, but we've done a pretty poor job of executing on those plans. So we had a job to do, which was to make ourselves eminently referable, to make ourselves guys that the practice that guys and gals would want to do business with, and frankly, we need your help to get us up to speed so that we can do a better job of thinking about how we position your services into our practice. And we would also like to maybe, after we've talked a bit, come back to you with a couple of ideas, examples of clients that we think, based on our first couple conversations, might fit the profile of where we can collaborate a bit, and then let's make it a goal that in September through October, these last 4 months of the year, that we have a regular meeting, that we're meeting regularly with clients, that we've identified the next action step to take with two or three clients that, you know, I think with one guy we did four, because you know, I'm the kind of guy, if you show me somebody with 20 priorities, and I'll show you somebody with no priorities. So what we're trying to do is identify three or four people that we can sit down with the COIs that we're talking to, and have a meaningful conversation and see how we work together. And generally they've said, yeah, I would love to do that. And, you know, I think that the fact that we do have a reputation around the bank as being very high-strung, hard-charging, uncompromising, so on and so forth, I think saying to them that we recognize that the practice isn't perfect and even acknowledging what some of the shortcomings were and then being willing to say, A, we acknowledge that, and B, we're taking steps to change it, I think it made the conversations much more open, and I think I just felt like they were more productive, more honest, more candid, genuine conversations.
Great. Yes. Anytime you admit that you're not perfect, that you've got, you know, fallacies, then people, whatever you say after that, they believe. it's actually a very important technique to use as a public speaker. Is disclosure, where you're disclosing something where you aren't basically perfect, and then coming up with a impactful statement.
Disclosure. Sean said that's a lot of disclosure, Rob.
Yeah. Just realize that the next statement, whatever it is that you're about to say, they will believe because you've disclosed that. It's very interesting. So have you thought about taking your show to the Center of Influence's office, where they can then present to you in a similar way?
We have. So we've identified three or four folks that we're going to sit down with. They've all kind of said, hey, after Labor Day, let's get something on the calendar. So we're hoping we can do that. And as a result of this, I think that's how Brett actually came to pass, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let Quan and Shadia. Boy, that's a, you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little jacked up on sugar, Rob. Today is Sean's birthday, and we've worked together 17 years since he was – that would have made him about 21. And we have always gotten Carville ice cream cakes, Fudgy the Whale, and Cookie Puss. So just before we got on the call with you, we were all eating ice cream cakes, so I might be a little buzzed from the sugar.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you are planning on doing this, and it's interesting. Let me share with you. I just met with one of the techniques that I talk to you guys about is meeting monthly, face to face, with a center of influence, with an agenda, just as if it were a client. In most cases, they already are clients, but. And that you have an agenda, but you're never sure where that conversation's going to go because, as in all conversations, before we get into the agenda, is there anything on your mind? And there always is. So I met with my estate planning attorney, who I used to meet with every Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month, for breakfast. And I would always learn from him, and I would always – have a good idea, or I'd have a referral for him, or he'd have a referral for me or something. It was just a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And so I met with him and went over our estate planning. And lo and behold, he said, Rob, I've probably read the Supernova Advisor four or five times. He said, I finally decided that I need to implement it in my practice. And I thought, gee whiz, isn't that interesting that it took this long? But that he's got an estate planning. He's a CPA and an attorney, and his practice is between here, Indiana and Naples, Florida. So it's an interesting practice. But when we're thinking, what do we talk about? Well, why not share, the book, The Supernova Advisor? I know this sounds self-serving, but the truth is that you can act as a kind of a consultant to them as they transition more to be more productive, more effective, more focused than they've ever been in most practices, whether they're CPAs or attorneys or they're realtors or they're anything else. They need this. And then also the advantage of course, meeting regularly with them or meeting as a group with them, you're going to hear what it is that they want to do, who they want as a client, what it is that they specialize in, and then you're going to be much more effective in referring business to them, just like they're going to be more effective in referring business to you. And don't be afraid to spell out exactly what it is that you want and ask them specifically what they want. And then you're really starting to get into a really good business relationship. So,
yeah.
And the part that people aren't – no one is willing, by the way, to do this. So when you think, God, are we wasting our time? This thing's taking so much time. No, just know that no one else is willing to do this. And people – I had the guy, gentleman on before you guys said, why aren't they willing to do it? And I said, because it's work.
I just want to ask that point.
They don't want to do 12-4-2 because it's work. I said, human beings are lazy. We're pleasure seekers. We want the most money for the least amount of work. That's what we want. And, God bless us. That's what makes us smart, why we leverage ourselves. But this is work, but it also is basic relationship building. And over time, which you all have, you're going to build relationships that other people are just going to be so jealous of. because they're going to say, how the heck did you get that referral? And it's because 5 years ago you did this. And you've been doing it ever since. And that's how you get the $120 million account. Not by, you know, making a call once in a while to a CPA and saying, I'm still in business. Okay? Really important concept. And if you get it, you're right where there with the brightest and the best. Because they get it. Any other meetings with centers of influence that have been interesting or worthwhile?
So, Rob, I don't know that he's a center of influence. I think maybe it's just a step towards us kind of repositioning ourselves within the firm. But Bill Arima, who is our direct manager, has an assistant manager that works for him. What's his name?
Jim.
His name is Jim. And Bill asked us if we would spend some time with him, and that Bill's trying to teach him the things he needs to know because he's being groomed to take a branch manager position. And so Bill thought, oh, that would be a good idea if he could sit down, you know, with one of the big teams in the region and talk to them and, you know, pick their brain and do this, that, and the other thing. And so he came up here today. And, you know, kind of my initial reaction was, you know, we really don't have time for this. Why are we doing this? And then I realized, oh, yeah, we're going to do nice things for people. And this may be a COI somehow opportunity. So he came in, and he's young. You think he's 30 yet?
Like 33.
He's 33. He's really young. So one of the things I said to him, I said, Jim, the challenge that I think you're going to face is that when you go down and you become a manager, that one of the things that both big producers and small producers say is that, well, if you could do what I do, you would be doing that instead of being a manager. So I think it's going to be really hard for you to walk in and say, I've got, like, this great sales idea, or I've got this great investment strategy, or I've got this or that. I said, and not to seem too arrogant, but we're pretty successful, and, you know, we've built a pretty good business here. And we probably know more than the average bear about how to run this business, how to grow businesses, and how to do that. But what we realized we had to do was to take a big step back and build the process, systems, and disciplines around our practice that we've never built before. So I told him a little bit about what we're doing with you with Supernova. And I said exactly almost what you just said. I said, look, I'm telling you nobody does it. And the way I know that is I've been in the business 25 years, and I never did it, and nobody I know in the business ever did it. We all read the book. I made lots of notes in your book. If I sent it to you, sometimes you wouldn't believe how anecdoted it was, and then went right back on the shelf. I said, so we're participating in the Supernova consulting process, and I said, if I were you, I would make time to come sit in on our weekly calls, to spend some time with Tara and Sean and all of them and try to find out, you know, how it's working, where we're, you know, what are the most impactful things, what do you do? Because what you can do is you can walk into any advisor's office and say to them, you probably don't have a systematic, disciplined, consistent approach the way you deliver service, deliver this, that, and the other thing to your clients. And if they say, oh, yes, I do, say, that's great. Show it to me.
Right.
And they're going to stammer and stutter. And they're going to say, well, I kind of this and I kind of that. And it's going to become clear they don't do anything. So, you know, what I told him is we had Marina print out a copy of your book and said, here, this is what we're doing. Start coming up, participate in these calls, ask questions, so on and so forth. And, you know, you ought to get to know Rob, and, you know, you might find guys that you can send there. But this is the kind of thing that whether you're 33 and you've been in the business for 8 years or you're 60 and you've been in the business for 35 or 40 years, FAs aren't doing it. They don't know how to do it. It just doesn't get done. And I think you could say to anybody, look, guys that run a $4 million practice, this is what they're doing to get the next list. So you're telling me at 400 grand, this is of no value to you? Nonsense. So that's what we did. And, you know, and I hope you don't mind him sitting in on the calls. But I think, you know, I think that is the one thing he can do, because if he'd have walked into us and told us how to do this, or not told us, but introduced us to you and convinced us this was the route we had to go, it would have been huge for us.
Right. No, you're
also, Rob, as we potentially, you know, branch out from just our local market, he's potentially going to have a job down in Richmond, which one of our centers of influence currently sits in. So it further, helps solidify our relationship in that particular town for an enhanced possibility of gaining additional clients down there.
Yeah, I think it's really smart, okay? What you're doing, what you just did was you took a challenge that the manager had, you helped him on it, with no apparent benefit, and took a burden off of him, not just let him sit in and coach him a little bit. You've given him clear direction on how to be very different in the market and create real value, all right, and do it with your help and ongoing help. Now, as a manager, you couldn't have done anything more for me in the world than what you just did. Congratulations. You hit a home run. Whether or not you ever get a benefit from it doesn't matter. You exemplified the process. Maybe this one doesn't work, but trust me, the next time or the next time or the next time, it's going to pay off in a big way, in a really big way.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing, Rob, that I will tell you is one of the things that I didn't think would ever happen. I shouldn't have said I didn't think it would ever happen. I thought it would be a really long turnaround, like, you know, turning an aircraft carrier, is that I've always known intellectually that to reach my maximum level of success in the marketing and sales world, that I had to disassociate myself from the outcomes and focus exclusively on the activities. That the outcomes are just natural progressions of the outcomes are just naturally flow from the activities. And I didn't think, I really thought I was going to have a hard time doing that. And very frankly, I struggled for the first part of this year because I came in every week and said, okay, here's what we're going to close. Here's the production we're going to do. I expect at the end of the week we're going to go do $43,964.12. And at the end of the week we sat down and said, did we do $9,654.12 or not? And so I thought, I don't know how I'm ever going to get away from that mentality because that's so much of who I am. But I have seen myself in the last several weeks be excited to get my calls scheduled, to get my calls done, and to do that. And to get off the phone, I wouldn't say it's quite yet the euphoria of closing a deal, but it's happiness, contentment, and confidence as opposed to feeling like, oh, I was just bored out of my mind. So you've made a big switch in my brain in, you know, a couple of months that, frankly, I didn't think I'd ever make, and I think that most people sitting around this table would say, he's going to be a nightmare. He's going to be really tough to get there. And I was a nightmare on and off, just by the way.
He just takes some convincing.
Yeah, look, you're going to backslide, and I backslide myself. I mean, but the reality is the euphoria that you feel at the end of the day is the same kind of thing when you look at your grass that you just cut and it's done. When were we ever done in this business? Never. Never done. We always were, you know, there's always more to do. But when you schedule your week and you schedule your day and you complete your day, there's a real sense of completion, which is a bit of euphoria that translates every day and then at the end of the week and then the end of the month. So that I may have told you that story about the guys that came in and, you know, during market uncertainty and talked to the manager came around while I was in the middle of a meeting with a team. And they said, you know, the market isn't good. You guys need to call all your clients. He left and they all started laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? He said, well, he doesn't know we call our clients every month. I said, you're right. Good. You guys got it. And that was in the middle of a major, you know, financial crisis, and they were calm and patient. And so it translates over and over into different scenarios in the market, whatever. But for you, it's that sense of satisfaction and that we're doing our job. You know, we're doing a great thing for the clients. And so if you can get there where you said, you know, we just did something great for the leadership team here. You know, and that's what our job is. Our job is to help people. Anytime you can help somebody, let me know that you helped them, okay? Put it up on the board. Put it up on the giving board. You know, I helped such and such. I did this. Give yourself credit for it, not because we're looking for credit, but just to reinforce with each other that we're doing the right thing here. So,
good. Yeah, we'll do that.
Congratulations. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And yeah, if you can get there, you know, I'm changing the name of my book from The Supernova Multiplier, the new book, to The Joy of Supernova. And it's for this reason. It's because there is a joy in doing the right thing and consistently, you know, going out and helping people and doing it all for the right reasons. So keep the joy up. It's wonderful to hear. This week is week 8, and the last week of organization. So this is when we ask the question, is there anything about the process that you're uncomfortable with or have questions about or need help on? Folders, scheduler, agendas, anything that way. You guys have been so self-sufficient, we've hardly touched on the fundamentals of Supernova. You just seem to be able to fly with it.
Rob, this is Claudia. I do have one question. I think one area that we struggle with is the meetings, the Monday and the Friday meetings. I think we understand the difference between the activities and the results, and maybe we don't. Maybe I'm wrong, because we find that there's some overlap between Fridays and Mondays, and on Mondays we kind of find ourselves asking, why are we meeting again? We just met on Fridays. Why don't we just have one meeting on Wednesday and combine everything?
The psychological thing that Rob and I were just talking about, the psychological difference between the two meetings is I think huge. And one is about giving and activity. And the other is, frankly, about getting and receiving, you know. And to combine them, I think you lose the impact of the giving. You might as well just have a getting meeting. And that's where we all move to in the end. And what we have to do is force ourselves away from the me, and the self, you know, the ego and the self, and go to the giving and the activity. Did we do the activity? Did we meet with the centers of influence this week? Now, I know, you know, buddy, this is not, you know, we're not talking about did we get a referral. We're talking about did we meet? Did we do the activities? And I think I shared with you the difference in the energy on a team that I could not get to move off the dime in terms of activity. They wouldn't meet with centers of influence. They wouldn't form mastermind groups. They wouldn't do any of these things that were going to help their business grow. And call it what you will. Call reluctance, you know, busy, all excuses. But when we simply went to, look, you don't need to do anything with this center of influence except help him in some way. Give him something. Give him a book. Give him an article. Give him your time. Give him something. And you get credit for that. And then we'll meet in a week. And that's your assignment. Do three nice things a day. for somebody else. Put it up on the board and do it. You know, kind deeds. I don't care. But give, all right? The next week, I mean, I swear to God, I picked up the phone, and they were jumping through the phone so excited to tell me all the wonderful things that they had done that week. The CAs, you know, everybody on the team was doing it, and we're having so much fun. And I said, do you hear your voices and the energy that you got? You've never had this kind of energy. And I didn't say energy around acquisition. I said energy around giving. And they were basically kind of fooling themselves into activities which were brilliant that were going. And at the end, one of the guys said, oh, by the way, I wouldn't have met with these centers of influence, and I got two referrals, all right? I don't mean to confuse you with that, with results, but, in fact, it worked. I said, wonderful. Keep it up. Let's do one more. Let's do another week. You know, and they did another week and had the same kind of energy around it. Energy is the key to our success in life. And where our energy is high and our enthusiasm is high, we're going to, it's going to be infectious with people around us. And so that's the difference. Frankly, the Monday meeting is the energy meeting, okay? That's where who did you help this week? What were you able to do? Who were you able to give a referral to? You know, how many referrals did we give? The Friday meeting is, okay, let's go to the bottom line because we got to go to the bottom line. That's part of the business, right? So as the fight, and remember, the Monday meeting is individually reporting in from the giving board. The Friday meeting is reporting in as the vice president of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. So you report in as a different person on Friday about a completely different subject. It's how are you doing versus your business plan, and how's the team doing versus the business plan. It's really how's the team doing versus our business plan. That's really what you talk about on Friday. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, and God bless you for asking the questions. Most people just stay confused. And there is, you know, it's like, I can't tell you how many times I've been asked the question, what's the difference between a mastermind group and a center of influence? And I say, I'm glad you asked that question because there's a huge difference, and I want you to understand it, and I want you to take advantage of it. All right? So what is the difference between a mastermind group and a center of influence?
Sean, Mr. Mastermind?
Rob, this is Sean. I've been participating in a group, and coincidentally, they have called themselves the mastermind group. But I meet once a month with four other advisors, and we just talk about what's working well within their practice, what's working well within their teams, what isn't working well, and each and every time someone brings a specific topic that we discuss, that they find themselves to be, you know, a specialist in some sort of area. I'm not sure if that falls under your same definition, but that's something that I've done for like the past year and a half.
Yeah, that's an intellectual mastermind group in your industry about your business, and it's really smart, right? And I recommend doing that, and sometimes we can do that when you get to the point where you're traveling and meeting other FAs in other offices and they're very successful. That's a wonderful thing to do. You know, once a month, once a quarter, get together, get on the phone, and share best practices, good ideas, et cetera. So that's how you stay sharp as a business person. All right, so the original mastermind group was created by Thomas Edison and Henry Ford. Burroughs was in there. They had other brilliant guys of their age. that came together and met quarterly and talked about business. So they were brilliant people, and they used to meet down in Fort Myers at Edison's home, and they would talk about business and share ideas. And just think about the genius of that group getting together and what they would have been able to create. It's kind of like getting, you know, Bezos together with, you know, some of the geniuses of today. And I'm sure they do, you know, as they create the future. Well, in your world, you want to do that, but you want to do it with people that technically are similar in terms of energy and age, but are very different in terms of their background, meaning, you know, one is a CPA, one is an estate planning attorney, one is a commercial realtor, the other is a residential realtor, and you. It could be an insurance agent. All you have to do is take a list of the enthusiastically endorsed group, and you can come up with, you know, other potential centers of influence that could be part of a mastermind group. The mastermind group then gets together monthly just like you do. You know, I suggest having dinner and sharing. Now, visualize doing this at your age now 20 years from now. You're still doing it with that same group, and that same group still is together. And what those relationships mean in terms of your community and their positions then, and you'd own it. Okay? Done right, you'd own the community with the right guys. So it's a longer-term strategic alliance that you make to help each other in your careers, in your practices, in life. Now, there's another, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a guy that came to me, and I said, okay, go do it. He said, I went and I did what you told me. I went to my CPA and I asked him if he'd like to be in my mastermind group, and he said no. And I said, why not? And he said, because I want you to be in mine. I have a mastermind group that meets, and we focus on helping doctors sell their practices. So we have a business broker. We have an attorney. We have a CPA that does their taxes. We have a commercial realtor that sells their building. And we need a guy that will manage the money once we sell the practice. Would you be interested? So he just about leaped through the phone telling me about this opportunity. And I said, that we are going to name and title a niche mastermind group. And I've never heard, by the way, anybody else use that term. And it's different. It's around a niche. So we have niche marketing, which is to become a specialist in an area like the sale of doctor's practices or car dealers or around your favorite local company where you're the expert in that company. Or, you know, there's lots of different niches that you can become very knowledgeable on. But a mastermind group around a niche is just a great idea. And that, to me, and guys have built these now over the years, not as many as I'd like, because it takes work and it takes time. But where it's been done, it's had brilliant results. So think in terms of niches that you guys like, own, or are known for, and then what would be, you know, how would you build a niche mastermind group around that, right? So, you know, I had one guy do it on people with disabilities, and now he's building a niche mastermind group around providing services for them. Lots of different ways that you can combine your personal interest as well as your professional interest. Any comments on that or ideas where you might identify a niche that you could build a mastermind group around?
You know, as I kind of think about it, Rob, our two largest niches, and I don't know if one's narrow enough to be considered a niche, but one is C-suite people. So I was thinking about this the other night. We currently work with the current CEO of Martin Marietta Materials, the former CEO of Siemens North America, the current CFO of Kimberly-Clark, and the former chief human resource officer of Activision. So it seems to me that that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, between those people, that's a big chunk of our book. I mean, it's four people, but it's a lot of the money. It seems to me that, now, here's what I would say to you is, I don't feel particularly like I'm an expert in those groups. I think I need to get much more. And so one of the things I've done is I've signed up that during the next couple months and in January, I'm going to do the Certified Private Wealth Advisor program through UCLA.
Yeah.
But to me, that seems like an area where we've got a big concentration of money, clients, and those kinds of things. You know, I don't know, can you turn that into a local niche, or is that more of a national niche, or is that not even a niche?
No, it's wonderful. Each one, theoretically, could be a niche. All right, because there's more than one person in that C-suite, so your intention would be to have them all.
Right.
So the question becomes, who else do they have in common as advisors that might make good associates for you in a mastermind group? So
gotcha.
One of the things that is, who's their CPA?
So I know that about two of them, three of them.
Okay. All right. And if there's one that is, has them in common, that would be, you know, same as you, a C-suite CPA. Right? So then the question becomes, who's their estate planning attorney? And, you know, is there one in common? Is it geographic? Is it based on the company? So you might take each company and think of it as a niche, or you can take the group as a niche. It's up to you.
Gotcha. And because of the estate planning attorney for the chief human resource officer of Activision and the CEO of Siemens, we referred them to their current estate planning attorney. And I think the CFO at Kimberly-Clark needs us to find her an estate planning attorney.
Okay. So she would be, if in fact you like her and you trust her, she would be a good person to begin the discussion about creating a niche mastermind group.
Yeah. And one of the things that Claudia was just saying here, Rob, is that the person who's the chief human resource officer at Activision is a super dear friend of mine. We go on vacation with her and her husband. I make sure that I see them, you know, every couple months or so. And it's kind of funny. When I first came to town in 1994, we rented a house in Old Town Alexander, and I used to walk by this big house all the time and think, oh, my God, if I could ever buy that house, I would have really made it. Fast forward 10, 12 years later, I meet Ann Weiser and Michael Johnson. That's their house. We become dear friends. They call me over for dinner one night. We're going to go out to dinner. They said, let's meet at our house for cocktails. And I always told them my story about, you know, I used to walk by this and say, oh, my God, if I could ever buy this, that would have been the greatest thing. So I'm happy I get to come visit here now. So I come over and Ann says, well, Rob, I've got good news and bad news. Let's have a drink before we go to dinner. I said, well, you know me, I'm the perpetual pessimist. I don't believe there's ever good news. What's the bad news? She said, the bad news is Michael and I are moving to Chicago. And I said, what the hell can the good news possibly be? She said, you're getting a new house. You can buy my house now. And I literally did buy her house. So we live in that house to this day. So she actually refers to this house as our house.
That's so great. That's a great story.
And her last year at Activision, she was rated one of the 20 most highly paid and most powerful women in human resources. So, you know, she's only been out of there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, and she teaches at South Carolina. So I would think that, you know, maybe even thinking about working with CHROs might be another niche.
You know, you put it together and then come back to me and say, okay, this is my ideal mastermind group. All right, what do you think?
All right,
make up a couple different ones. Just do some brainstorming on this stuff. You know, is there a commercial realtor? Is there a residential realtor? You know, who else might be perfect for that group where they all would need them and would value them?
Great. And Rob, I have one other question on this topic. So one of the things when you were talking I wrote down is establishing a wealth management mastermind group. And what I was thinking was, is some of the CPAs we know in town, the estate planning attorneys. Then I wrote down when you said commercial realtor, residential realtor. I also thought there's a guy who runs a local investment bank it's not local, but it's Focus Investment Bank. We know him. Of course, Wells has their own investment bank, but, you know, they mostly do really big deals. So could you do something that was wealth people in and around the wealth management business in D.C. and then have multiple CPAs, multiple attorneys, multiple iBankers, or is that too much competition?
Well, here's what I like to think of it. I'd have my each one of you can have your own private mastermind group, right? And they're all going to think they're number one.
Gotcha.
So each one can have. And what I would suggest doing would be to have your lead guy, your lead CPA, and that would be your guy in the mastermind group, okay? But then I would have a CPA that would be on deck. All right, he's on deck for the mastermind group if something happens to my other guy. Now, I meet with him monthly, all right, but he's not in my mastermind group. So he's still important. Then I have another guy on deck for that position, for the monthly position. Now, I don't meet with him monthly, but I keep in touch with him. I meet with him quarterly. Okay?
Gotcha.
So I have three CPAs then. In various positions that I'm always nurturing and getting ready to go. But my primary guy, because as Wells, like Merrill and like all the other firms, you're supposed to refer, you know, three names.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's your three names. And they'll always say to you something like, well, you know, if I had to pick, who would you suggest? I said, I'd suggest this guy because I think he'd be a good fit for you. And, you know, some guys actually would be a better fit than other guys. They just don't, you know, a guy doesn't meet the minimums that your top guy meets. So you send him to the second guy or the third guy or even another guy that you like but, you know, doesn't have the kind of clientele that you have. So you always have, you know, you're always trying to problem solve. And even if in small accounts you're trying to, you know, somebody got a friend and they don't meet your minimums, you refer them to somebody that is really going to take good care of them. And so that's where your enthusiastically endorsed golden Rolodex comes in for various levels of even if you're not going to take them, you take care of them. And then you're giving, see? And people understand that. I understand you don't take that kind of client, but, you know, who does? Who would you recommend? All they want to do is get them taken care of. And when the CPA refers somebody, they know they're below your minimum. They don't care if you take them. They just want them taken care of in the way that you take care of.
Gotcha.
That's where you can build a network within Wells. We call it the stair step to the stars. where you're really giving referrals and accounts and other things to other people, creating this goodwill and true teamwork like in a law firm so that everybody admires you and thanks you and, frankly, will do lots of things for you that they wouldn't typically do. And you'd be surprised where some interesting referrals come from when you do this sort of thing. Internal referrals from other FAs that just don't think they can handle it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. We need to do that because we do, you know, the one thing that the firm, that we drive them a little bit crazy about is they like it that we've moved up market, but it drives them nuts that we walk away from deals all the time.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. I mean, you should, you know, for the manager's sake, for the other FA's sake, be the good guys. You're going to be the goodwill guys, the guys that are really helping other people. And you know what? It takes another minute. It doesn't take long. You just want to make sure that you're doing quality assurance that these people are giving, you know, Supernova service. So you say, hey, look, here's the deal. I'll refer business to you, but you need to get Supernova trained. So call Rob Knapp, and he'll train you, and then guess what? I'll refer business to you because I know that any client that we, you know, we're going to continue to grow. And when we outgrow clients, we want them taken care of.
Right.
You know, we're not going to keep, we're not going to pile them in here. We're not going to have a storage facility. We want them actively taken care of. And you're, we like you and think you're the guy for it, but you got to get trained. You know, we're not going to have given a guy 1242 and then have him get a call every once a year. That's not acceptable.
Right.
Okay. So that's your stair step to the stars, which I, you know, you guys want to do this right. That's the part. That's just another step in doing it right. So, what would you, what's got you excited this week? What would you like to follow up on and be sure that you're accountable?
For me, Rob, it's the COI, make a list of COIs. I'm going to start by doing something nice for them, and then the mastermind.
Okay, good. Yeah, start to build those out and then, you know, come up with some niches and then, you know, kind of narrow the niches and start to put players in the spots.
Gotcha.
Don't be afraid to build three or four of them and kind of put it, you don't have to start them all at once, but just kind of build them out in theory as to what would be, and then you can once you do that, then you prioritize them and say, okay, here are the three or four that I've listed. Here's the one that I'm most excited about. And then that's where you begin.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, everybody on the team can theoretically could do that. You know, it doesn't just have to be you. So anybody that's in the sales world can create a mastermind group and should.
Yeah, and I think that's especially true of the COIs because I'm kind of sitting here thinking that as I think about the CPAs and some of those things, you know, regularly one of them calls Sean or I to ask us for a piece of information, which we then turn around and ask Tara to get to them, who then sends it to them. I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts. They tend to then turn around and hand it to somebody on their team. So why not cut me and the CPA out and have Tara have some kind of relationship with a number of the CPA's administrative teams?
That's where your presentation comes in. That's where they come to your office with their team and meet your team, and then you go to their office and meet their team. Okay?
Gotcha.
So when they come, don't just have them one person come. Have them bring their key person with them. And then when you go, bring Tara and have that meet that key person. You're absolutely right. That's leverage and productivity, and everybody wins. And now you've got people talking up and down the ranks to each other, and everybody loves it. It's like, you know, this is so smart. Why were we wasting our time? Okay. Really smart.
Right.
All right. Have some fun with that, and keep on giving. You're going to, you know, the energy is really good. I love hearing it.
Hey, but Rob, I pulled your book out the other night, and I looked at it, and I got raised in this business by a guy by the name of Mark Polzine, who was an attorney. And his dad owned a Northwest Mutual agency up in Milwaukee. While this guy was going to law school, he was a million-dollar roundtable producer. And under your giving thing, I'd written one of the things he used to tell me all the time. He used to say, Rob, remember, the golden rule only works if you remember it's your move.
Oh, that's cool.
So you made me think of him. And it's funny, I'd read that book 4 or 5 years ago, and I'd written that in there, and I didn't remember having written it, so.
That's
I appreciate great. All your help.
Oh, hey, I appreciate your energy and commitment to this. It's a lot of fun to coach good students and people that care. So thanks a lot. I'm enjoying it.
Have a nice Labor Day. Hope everything stays. I thought of you the other day after I saw those tornadoes at Kokomo. My Midwest geography, I grew up around Kankakee, Illinois. Kokomo's not that far from Indianapolis, is it?
Oh, no, it's just north of us. We were in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing a call from the basement, so it was pretty scary, yeah. But it missed us, but it really hammered them. We've had a lot of rain, though. We've had some flooding here. So, but we're okay, you know. Part of the seasonality thing.
Yep. All right, sir. All right. Thanks for your help. Have a good weekend.
Same for you. Have a good Labor Day weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye now.